Greetings in Jesus' precious name. Our youth, for the most part, have high interest in social life, but I would like to hasten on that they are not the only ones. The rest of us also enjoy social life because God made us social beings, and we'd like to engage all of us in this subject this evening. I believe social life begins with God's observation in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, when he looked on Adam, and the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Your God made Eve then, and then he introduced Eve to Adam. He woke out of his sleep, and I believe he was given the best social life that there could be. That's the beginning of social life. We could say that God brought perfect social life to Adam. But in the fall in the garden soon changed that, very much so. It changed it in a huge way. That God-honoring social life became a big problem for man. You think of the first family. That there was a murder in the first family between the two brothers. Terrible social life. And then till we get to Genesis chapter 6, social life became so bad that God said, "We're going to have to destroy the world." And he saved Noah and his family. The problem wasn't work life. Wasn't it social life? It was social life. So social life can become very negative. It can be very detrimental. But we're interested this evening that it's positive. And it can be positive. It can be very positive to our life. We're all interested in social life because God made us social beings. So we're interested in this evening and speaking on social life that is going to help us in our Christian life. Social life that's going to help us grow, help us to have victory. I think if we were all honest, we would look back and reflect on social life that contributed to our defeat. I can say that to myself, that there was social life that didn't help me be victorious, but rather brought defeat. We're interested in talking on social life that helps us to get to heaven. And I've decided to develop this message from an Old Testament story. I was thinking about maturity, who in the Bible gives us an example of maturity. I'd like to look at the story of Mordecai and Esther and use that as our guide for some of the thoughts this evening. So you may open your Bibles to Esther. You know the story. We'll jump around a little bit. Won't take time to give an overview of the story. But the question tonight is how can we have social life that contributes to spiritual maturity? How? Question mark. First point I get from chapter 2, Esther chapter 2, verse 7. Speaking of Mordecai, and he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. The first point is take responsibility. Mordecai learned of the need of his younger cousin, and he chose to take responsibility for Hadassah. Choosing to take responsibility is huge. It makes a tremendous difference in individual lives, in family life, in church life, in a nation's life, of those that choose to take responsibility. We shake our heads of all the irresponsible youth and irresponsible parents that America is producing. See, when you remove God, it produces a social disorder, which results in social life that is more death than life. It's social death. You see, friends, this evening, taking responsibility means that we put God before social life. And I'd like to emphasize that to young people. Taking responsibility means we put God before social life. You put social life before God, and there's one guaranteed result every time, and that is heartache in capital letters. I think some of us would testify that that is always a result. You neglect God and chase after social life, and there's going to be heartache. Young people, take responsibility for your relationship with God. This comes before pursuing social life. And it's very important. You think about the first commandment is love God. That's our first goal, not social life. It simply does not work to replace God with social life. And like I've said, we've all been guilty, I believe, of this. Because we can make social life an idol and just have a drive for that. And it can make a person very empty without God. Brings us to the second point, is reach out in love. In verse 11 of chapter 2, "And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the woman's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her." I doubt that someone gave Mordecai a schedule and said, "This is the schedule. Every day, go in front of the court and see how your daughter is doing, stepdaughter." I don't think so. It was a natural response for him because he cared about Esther a lot. That's why he did that. Mordecai had a genuine love for Esther. It says, what should become of her? Social life is on right footing when it's the product of God's love in our heart. Social life is on right footing when it's the product of God's love in our heart. And it needs to be that way. I believe he had God's love in his heart. And that's what made him every day fit that in his schedule to go before the court and see how Esther was doing. I'm blessed to hear of people. I believe there's probably some in this audience that volunteer at hospitals, volunteer at rest homes. There's some that go from room to room at the hospital to offer magazines to see what people want to read. There's others that take food to the patients. I'm also blessed with the various efforts of various churches to have children's Bible study and try to bring truth to the hearts of community children. And see, how this is to work is that we love God. And as a result that we love God, then we love people. What's the product of that? Social life. It produces social life. But it needs to be in that order. Reaching out in love rather than spending more and more time on ourselves and our interests. Brethren and sisters, that's always God-honoring. It's always God-honoring to reach out in love rather than spend more and more time on ourselves. I believe that Mennonites need to be known for more than good food and well-kept properties. They need to be known that they are people that reach out and show love wherever they can. It's a wonderful thing. We talked to a mission board meeting a few days ago, yesterday I guess, on the relief committee and how we can help that be more active. And it was the other week I was looking through old pictures from a relief trip, and I was really there's a picture there I'd like to show Sim Yoder next week when we have bishop meeting. But years ago when I was a teenager, we went on a relief trip, and I had a picture of Sim Yoder was there from Dublin over at the Hurricane Hugo in Georgia or North Carolina. But as we reach out and do things like that, it produces social life that gives us tremendous memories. For Mordecai, I believe that was a sacrifice to do that every day. And we can raise that question, is where can I sacrifice to reach out in love? As we reach out in love, it will produce social life for us. Thirdly, in chapter 2, verse 20, I like this verse. Esther had not showed her kindred nor her people as Mordecai charged her. For Esther did the commandments of Mordecai, like as when she was brought up with him. The third point is bring someone up with you. There's no question in my mind that Mordecai was a good foster dad. It tells us here that Esther did the commandments of Mordecai. I believe Esther had a fondness for Mordecai. She loved Mordecai. But notice particularly that it says Esther did the commandments of Mordecai. Parents, this evening, that doesn't happen without a plan that our children obey us. Parents, we learn that very early in parenting. And sometimes it's stunning that the child just simply doesn't obey. Little Hadassah had learned to respect perimeters. Little Hadassah had learned to respect authority. Notice that Mordecai had given her a charge, and she respected that. Mordecai had given her some specific directions. And those are things that are greatly lacking in our society. And it's why we have some of the social upheaval that we have in our country. Are we being parents like Mordecai, giving perimeters to our children and helping them in their social development? Are we guarding them from wrong influences? Mordecai was very involved with Esther's life. I believe that's very obvious. They had a relationship. As I pondered this afternoon, I thought of a question. What if Esther had a smartphone? What if she did? What if she was constantly boxing when she was at home and had friends? Maybe she had dozens of friends that she kept up with. Lots of friends that she stayed connected with. What would have her and Mordecai still had a relationship like they did? It's something for us to think about. Bring somebody up with you. Bring someone up with you. That's what Mordecai did. And that's something, it's a sobering question that we as parents bring someone up with you. Mordecai was experiencing social life with his child. And he was enjoying it. It was tremendous. So much so that every day, I need to be there and see how my daughter's doing. In a recent magazine, they had a question, do you love technology or hate it? It was interesting. There's somebody, a 31-year-old wife, that said, I'm mostly not liking it right now. Recently, I feel it pulls you away from personal relationships. Isn't that something? Recently, I feel it pulls you away from personal relationships. When my husband comes home, it's not long before I realize we're both on our phones. Okay? Technology is affecting us in tremendous ways. And it affects, I believe, sometimes from us bringing someone up with us. Youth, I'd like to challenge you. It's not only parents that we need to bring someone up with us. It's that youth, you too can bring someone up with you. Maybe it's that someone that you know that is struggling. There's always youth that are struggling with acceptance, not sure Some people have the gift of social and knowing how to make friends, and there's others that struggle. Young people, you know who they are. Bring someone up with you. It's the right thing to reach out. You see them outside the circle. What do? Bring someone up with you. Young people, it's always the right thing to reach out to that person outside the circle. It's so wrong to push people down. It's so wrong to be cliquish. Mordecai brought up Hadassah. He didn't push her down. I don't know what when she came. She may have been pretty needy, a child without parents. She may have been needed just a lot of help. I don't know. But you see what happens when you bring someone up with you? You can't go. Our goal isn't just to bring ourselves up and try to get in some really neat social group. Our interest is to bring people up with us. Mordecai did that. And look at the daughter he helped to groom and be a blessing to others. He didn't treat her like a nobody, but I believe Mordecai treated her like an important somebody. And think about who she became. Fourthly is be real. In chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, we have this story here of, you know, Haman had his plot, and this affected Mordecai tremendously. He put on sackcloth. He went in the city. He cried a loud and bitter cry. And there was Esther found out about this, and she was exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. The point is let's be real. You know, Mordecai could have put on a fine front here. He was right up there in the political world. But he was mature enough to be real. He was mature enough not to be in denial. You know, Haman's plot to destroy the Jews had the king's signature, and he knew that. And he knew that this was a sad, sad day. Mordecai didn't stuff it inside and go about in finery. He did what was somewhat a practice of sackcloth and ashes. He was in deep grief. Esther was grieved with his behavior and sent raiment. And I think the lesson for us here is not to be pretenders. Social life is a blessing when we can be ourselves. And that's what sometimes we parents encourage children. Those that may struggle with social life and identity and acceptance is just focus on Jesus. Be yourself. And yes, you may not be the best storyteller, but it's okay. I had to think of some of my friends, and don't have this in my notes, but I think of Dwayne Whitmer. I was a friend with him from growing up, and I would really be stressful if I'd try to be a good storyteller like he is. But we have to accept who we are, and young people, be yourself, be real. And it's fine. If you focus on Jesus and be like Christ, you'll be okay. That's the most important. Fifthly, communicate in right ways. Chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Mordecai had an excellent response to Esther's fear to go into the king. We have Esther's fear there in verse 11. She said, "Hey, I may die. He may not hold out the scepter." And you look at verses 13 and 14, good response. I see faith in God. I see encouragement. I see a good question there. Mordecai didn't intimidate her, but he laid out the facts and tried to help her see the big picture and to consider her place in the kingdom. As one studies this, we can conclude that they learned how to communicate. And that's very important. That was one of the responses to a person in the magazine that raised the question is, do you love or hate technology? And one said, I think about all the advantage of technology, like staying connected to friends, online shopping, but I think it's constricting our lives because children don't know how to communicate anymore. They just text and email. Learning to communicate and have social life, exchange, that is more important than becoming good at volleyball. It really is. And yet, it's very true what that parent says, that she's concerned that it's constricting our lives because people and young people and children don't know how to communicate anymore. Just old-fashioned communication of enjoying the presence of other people. You know, our local newspaper, they have pages on sports. It's amazing. I believe maybe it's a whole section on sports. And children are taught that that's important to excel in sports, and yet there's other areas that are failing. And I'd just like to put a warning out that we do not give too much focus on play, because it will stifle spiritual growth, spiritual maturity. It will hinder the work of the church. I believe focusing on play as a means of fulfillment, to try to fulfill my needs with play, it will not happen. It will always produce a shallowness. Sixthly, is maintain social reserve. I believe Esther gives us an example of social reserve. She was a woman of strong character that kept herself pure. We have already in chapter 2 that Haggai was impressed with her. That it says there that the maiden pleased him. And I believe history would say that there was like 400. And Esther, the keeper was impressed with Esther and gave her, says that she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her the things for her purification, which such things as belonged to her. What was it that he saw out of those 400 that was different? And I believe it was her humility, her sweetness, her graciousness. I believe it was her kind and loving spirit that flowed from her heart. Social life that contributes to spiritual maturity. How? Well, social reserve. We need to maintain a social reserve. I believe that's very important. It's important for you young people to think about that, and as well as us parents. Youth being together too much in a mixed setting, too frequent, can bring a familiarity that's detrimental. You know, when social reserve is lost, there is a freeness of speech and a lack of discretion. You know, when a mother needs to express concern that her 18-year-old daughter, when she's beginning to date, she says that they know each other too well already. When a mother says that, she's acknowledging that someone failed to exercise proper social restraint. And we need to think about that. I'm very zealous that we can keep a healthy social reserve between among our young people. That's not in all settings. It can change, even in Mennonite settings, where there's just a looseness and you can talk about things and that shouldn't be talked about. And it can, I believe, that familiarity, playing together a lot, can all break that down. And, you know, there's a price to pay for that. Let's maintain a healthy social reserve. And us parents are somewhat have a responsibility for that. Seventhly is social separation. Mordecai gives us an example of not bowing to Haman. You know, Mordecai had some lines that he didn't cross. He wouldn't do that. And there's reasons for that. He was not to, according to the law and who Haman was. So he had some lines and he stood on that. As parents, we are responsible to protect our youth from what harms them spiritually. We are interested in having our young people go to heaven. And at some point, when Jesus comes back, there'll be a group of youth. And we want that group of youth saved. We parents are responsible to protect our youth from what harms them spiritually. There was a man of the world that said, "It seems to him that our American society is determined to exploit and corrupt the young people." And that is so true. That is so true. The news media, the educational system, the entertainment, the music, they're all doing just that. They're corrupting. They're corrupting young people, corrupting children. And it's taking away precious things from them at such a young age. And it's so wrong. And Satan is all behind it. We as parents and teachers and church leaders, we need to, first of all, we ourselves need to avoid the corruptions that are in the world. And then we need to help our dear young people avoid the corruptions in the world. Satan wants to corrupt us. He wants to keep us from holiness and purity. Something we should think about is how frequent we should eat out and where we should eat out. I enjoy eating out sometimes, but not always. The other week when the children were off, we have a new Five Guys in effort. Well, I'll take my five boys and myself to Five Guys. But it was a little disappointing. Yeah, the music was just blaring. It was just loud. It just doesn't appeal to me to go back there. And there's other restaurants that because of the music, because of the sports bar and the entertainment, it's more than just food. Cracker Barrel, we know that's pretty much about food, isn't it? But there's other restaurants that it's more than, it's entertainment. And I think we need to build a conviction on that. Young people, think about that. What does the world think about us attending some of these restaurants that are really places of entertainment with screens all over the place? Social separation. We can all think of spiritual casualties because people and individuals that didn't draw lines in social life. We need to draw lines. Eighthly is make the home and church the hub of social life. I believe all of us would agree that Mordecai and Esther, it wasn't a real big family, but they enjoyed home life. And I like to say, social life begins at home. The newborn baby gets social life being cuddled by mom and dad. That's the beginning of social life. Brethren and sisters, God's plan is having the home and church the hub of our social life. It needs to be that way. Have the church youth in our homes. Dads and moms, when's the last time we had the friends of our youth sit with us around the living room? Had the friends of our youth sit around us, the table, our children's friends. When did the last time we do that? It gives opportunity to learn to know our children's friends, and it's such a blessing. There isn't that distraction of loud blaring music coming out of the ceiling or some immodesty across the aisle. I really believe we need a revival in getting our youth in our homes. I know you can't play volleyball in a living room, but there are a lot of worthwhile things that you can do in a living room and you can do around a kitchen table. And I believe we have the example of Jesus Christ. He went in homes. Food and fellowship. He did it all the time. And I believe it's an example from the very Son of God. We work at our homes and try to have them accommodate our needs. Well, I believe this is probably an area we need to brush up in. Lastly, is seek the wealth of God's people. We have that in chapter 10, verse 3. Mordecai, last verse of the book, the very end. This is a description of Mordecai. And he was great among the Jews, accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people, and speaking peace to all his seed. You want good, wholesome social life? Friends, this evening, is seek the wealth of God's people. It will contribute to spiritual maturity. Beyond that, we'll sometime have a home in glory. Brethren and sisters, this evening, that will be the best social life. The best social life. To go to heaven and be with God and be with our Savior Jesus Christ and be with those saints of old. Friends, we'll be totally accepted. There'll be no acceptance issues. I want to be there. I trust that you want to be there. Young people, we want you there. I know you want to be there. Let's be faithful today. May God bless.